Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Good evening. Each year, at the beginning of the year, the president stands before Congress and he'll deliver what is called the State of the Union Address. And regardless of how you feel about politics, it's usually a very interesting address to listen to. He'll talk about the things that are facing the nation, maybe the problems that we're experiencing, the condition of the nation, and he'll even outline some plans that he has to address some of the issues facing our nation. Maybe he'll address things like the economy or education, whatever it may be. It's always an interesting speech. Because sometimes it's usually a very positive speech. Sometimes he'll get on things where regardless of what side of the aisle you land on, everybody will stand up and be cheering and it's you see unity and that's our president and this is our country. And of course sometimes there'll be some things that are not as popular that are said and maybe only half of those present will stand up. One of my favorite things about the State of the Union Address is to watch the faces of the people sitting behind the president. Because, again, sometimes everybody's happy with what's being said, and sometimes somebody's not as happy. You see in that photo, sometimes half of the folks are a little grumpy, and then some others are just really excited about what's being said. But I like seeing the faces in the State of the Union Address. Tonight, I'm not going to deliver a State of the Union address, but I thought I would give a report about our mission works, a State of Our Mission Works report to you, and let you know what's going on with the various works that we support. Usually when I do a report, I try to make it more of a sermon and use the mission works as the illustrations, but tonight I'd like to go back to, I don't guess I've done this in my 6 years here, so I'd like to go back and just go through a whole bunch of photos and go through all of our mission works and show you what's going on in the various things that we support. When you think about the places that we do mission work, I like to use Acts 1 and verse 8 sort of as the framework for our mission work here at Graymeer. In Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus said to the apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You sort of have a framework there of that the gospel began to go out from Jerusalem, that was at home, and then the gospel spread out into the surrounding areas of Judea and Samaria, and then it was taken into all of the world. And that's what we're trying to do here. We don't have to debate about whether we should do more here at home or more overseas. We're just trying to follow that pattern and see if we can reach souls. We know that the world's lost in sin. And what we found this year by following this framework, we found that if we'll get outside of our comfort zone, that we can find people right here that want to hear about Jesus, just like we can when we go a little further away and to try to teach people. I believe we've already had a report about our big campaign this year, but I thought I would go ahead and highlight it and begin with that tonight because that's something that we did right here at home. As you'll remember, you're probably tired of hearing about it by now. We started announcing this at the end of 2015 and we were putting up billboards and websites and we were getting folks who were responding to that question of if you could ask God one question, what would it be? So we got several emails of folks with questions about that. But I thought it was really neat that we were trying to do something a little bit bigger than we normally did, and having a little bit bigger VBS, a little bit bigger reaching out to help others, a little bit bigger evangelism, a little bit bigger in answering some questions that people might have. So that's what we tried to do here at home this year with our big campaign. And there was a lot of stuff that went in a lot of work that went in behind the scenes to get us ready for that campaign. And it was so exciting to be working here, and as this was sort of the headquarters of that work, it was so exciting to see all the different aspects and ways in which people were able to volunteer and to help. Folks were cleaning, folks were cooking, But we're doing all of these different things. A lot of you put bumper stickers or magnets on your cars and advertise that way. A lot of folks were sharing things on Facebook and trying to get the word out about what we were trying to do. But in spite of all of that, when we got to the night before our first day of evangelism, I was really, really scared. Because even in spite of all we had done, I really didn't have an idea of how many people were going to show up. And I was afraid that it might be me and one or two others. But it was the complete opposite. We had, I don't know the exact number, but we had about 70 people show up just to do evangelism each day. And with those 70 people, I mean, it was just amazing to see them all show up there at the lodge in the mornings. But we were able to knock about 2,500 doors each day. We covered a huge area of this city, and knocking those doors and telling people about our activities, what we're about. But also unique to what we were offering was we were offering to pray with people. And we found a great response. I wouldn't say nobody got a bad response. I don't know that I heard any stories of that. But I know I didn't receive any bad responses from our evangelism groups. The ones I saw, it was always positive. There was always interest to know what we were about and why we were out knocking doors. Obviously, we're wearing shorts and wearing normal clothes. They could tell we're not some of the religious groups that they're accustomed to seeing knocking on their doors. So folks were interested in that. And folks were interested in having us pray with them about the various things that they had going on. We had folks that were very skilled and able to offer their time and their labor in order to do good deeds for others. We went into schools and did work there. I know we were at Whitthorne. We were outside of Baker. We were at Highland Park. We were at people's homes, individuals' homes, looking for ways that we could help others and show that our faith is more than just something we're going to speak about, but we also want to live it out in front of others. We were all really excited about the big tent that we were able to rent out back. Jimbo Nutt and his crew were there each night cooking, and it was just so exciting when it came time for VBS each night to see that tent filled up with people, Graymere members and visitors alike. And that was sort of, it showed us that all of those efforts that we had been doing, that we had been planning for, and then stepping out of our comfort zone to do, we were getting good results from it. We had folks that volunteered to teach VBS, and it was a big VBS. I hope we had more workers. I hope we had a better response than maybe we've had in recent years. But all of that was being done for the purpose of trying to reach souls here in Columbia. And that's what we were able to do on a couple of occasions. One, as you see in that photo, is Calvin, who put on Christ as a result of someone here inviting him to come and hear the gospel preached. So that was the way that we started at home and started to reach out to the lost in our community. But as we're following that pattern and trying to reach out to the surrounding regions, we also did work in Arizona this year. And on spring break, there at the end of March, we had a group of about 32, 33 individuals from here that made the trip to Arizona for an evangelistic campaign. As you know, there's a photo of Josh and Divine when they were here to help work with us on the big campaign. Josh and Divine, of course, worked there with the church in Arizona. And there's constantly been challenges, yet they're so positive and they're so evangelistic. They're contagious. People from here, as we go out and work with them, everybody keeps wanting to go back because they're just contagious. And I really believe that a lot of the excitement we had for the big campaign here can be attributed to them in Arizona, because I think they've taught us that we can be effective if we'll get out of our comfort zone and be excited about reaching others and helping others. So while we were out there, again, it was evangelism. That was the number one task. Our teams were divided up into groups, and they were going and they were knocking doors. You've heard me talk a lot about the need for a new facility for their church there, the Salt River Church. They had outgrown where they were, so we've been able to renovate a new space. So our purpose while we were there was to go out and knock the doors and let folks know about this new church that has just moved into the neighborhood. And we were advertising what we called a meet and eat. Every night, rather than having nighttime preaching, we spent the daytime trying to set up Bible studies and the nighttime they were free to come and eat with us, and we just wanted to sit and talk to them and hopefully set up further individual Bible studies. One of the things I enjoy about working here in Columbia and working in surrounding areas in our country, I don't have any fears about taking my children to a lot of other countries, but it's a whole lot easier when we're talking about working within the U.S. because we travel with children. That's a normal part of the life of an American now. So a lot of our younger kids were able to go, and it's just so much more fun when you have kids as a part of a campaign, but especially the little kids, that we even found things that they could do. The new church facility is located right next door to a WIC office, so you've got families coming in all throughout the day going to doctor's visits there in that office or coming to it for various different reasons to go to that office. So what we did for our little kids, we just went and bought a whole bunch of diapers, and we'd take five or six diapers and put a rubber band and a flyer on it, and our little kids would be there at the door to greet people and to give them some free diapers, whatever sizes they needed, and to invite them to come back. And we did have folks come back as a result of these little kids giving them an invitation. The Sunday after we had returned home, there were two families that came to worship, and they said, "We came because the little kids that gave us diapers also gave us an invitation to the church here." Now we've always got guys with skills. I'm not one of those guys, but we've got John Compton, we've got Matt Bowling, so wherever we go, we put them to work. We find work for them, and there's never a shortage of things that they can do to help. We had teachers. Again, we were going on spring break, so we had teachers with us, and we found that they had not yet decorated their classroom. So we had Carrie and Emily that were decorating classrooms while they were there. And it's just interesting to see unique ways that people can use their skills. Our Christian educators were able to go there and help them with their knowledge and their expertise. Our teenagers that went, they were able to help. Of course, they were busier than any of us in knocking the doors each day and trying to set up Bible studies, but in free time they were having fun together. They were going through different materials that the church had and setting up so that they could teach a children's class at night while we were trying to meet and greet the visitors, the adult visitors that came to the church. But we did all of that, all of those different activities for the purpose of hoping that some visitors would come at night. And we were successful in that. We had visitors every night. There was one young man named Rob who had come, and after we left, he put Christ on in baptism. So we were successful when we stepped out of our comfort zone in that surrounding area outside of Columbia. We were successful in reaching people with the gospel there in Arizona. Here most recently, just a couple weeks ago, I was able to make a trip to Montana, and I actually took that photo. It's that beautiful there. But I was able to make this trip to Montana with James Thomas and Bobby Bishop and Hollis Carpenter. And I tell you, it was totally selfish on my part to try to go. Really, what was going on there, it's not necessarily a Graymere mission work. What was happening there, a man named Russell Epperson, he and his family had moved to Montana, to Lewistown, Montana, about 5 years ago to work with that church. And he's good friends with James Thomas. The church there at one point had dwindled over the years. This is before Russell got there. They had dwindled all the way down to two members were left, a husband and wife, and they're still there. We were able to eat dinner with them one night. But it had dwindled down to the point that couple, they were trying their best to keep the doors open, and the husband would get up and preach a sermon to his wife every Sunday morning. And they were themselves doing all the physical work to keep up the church building, and they themselves were paying the electric bill and everything to keep the doors open. They ended up decided to get rid of that building. It was just too much for them, too much more than they could handle. But they took the money and put it in a fund for a little while, and at some point they took that money back and they bought their present location. And that's about the time that Russell and his family decided to move there and to work with the church. But now they're, as Russell's in the community and they're reaching people, they're making contacts all the time. There were 51 people at worship that Sunday morning. There's a capacity in their present building for 60. So the good news is they're about to outgrow their facility because they're putting into action what they believe. But I say it was totally selfish on my part. They needed a new facility. Again, I don't have necessarily those skills to be able to do much with my hands, but Bobby Bishop does. So they contacted James, and James got Bobby, and he was going to go up there and do some things. And I guess he realized that it was more than he could do by himself. So he asked Hollis Carpenter to go, and the two of them together could do a whole lot of things. But me, I just kind of wanted to go somewhere. It seems like I'm always leading the trip, and I kind of wanted an opportunity to go where I was just part of the team and where I could just do whatever they told me to do. So they allowed me to go with them to Lewistown. And as you can see, that it's basically one main strip, and the new facility that they've leased is there right on that main strip. That's a photo of Russell and the facility that we were working at all throughout that week. Actually, I talked to Russell the other day. They while we were there, they still had not gotten occupancy of that building, but he said he expects them to get that tomorrow. And this was my work. Unfortunately, my knees still hurt. All of James Thomas and myself, again, we didn't necessarily have the skills of these other guys, so they gave us the task of, all of that was covered with carpet, they gave us the task of pulling it up. Unfortunately, it had been glued down for about 50 years or so, so we're cutting a square and pulling it up, and that was our work for a couple of days to pull up the carpet. But we had a lot of other odds and ends. Hollis and Bobby were building a wall and getting it ready to put in a kitchen for the church. So they actually built a wall and did a lot of painting. We also got to, again, do some little odds and ends, cleaning the outside of the building. We're making it look good for the community so that folks will come in. How can you not love that man? He got dirtier than any of us and was just as happy as he could be. It was just great to see him dirty like that, not me. When he went back to the hotel, we had dinner plans that night with that couple I mentioned that had kept the church going for so long. I had to run Hollis back to the hotel to get a shower because he couldn't eat like that. And on his way past the lobby desk, the lady said, she held up some washcloths and she said, "Use these, they're already stained." There's a photo of the fellow in the maroon shirt. His name's Patrick, and Patrick was special to all of us. Some of you know Barry England. Barry England's been up there before, and Patrick talks about Barry England nonstop. Patrick he does Special Olympics cycling, and so we've seen him riding all around town. But he won all the competitions for the state of Montana. Has gotten to go to the Special Olympics and represent the United States there. Where he came in third place, and I gave him a hard time about letting the guys from Australia beat him. But just an excellent fella, and he was very special and with us and helping us the whole time we were there. But again, we were reaching out to another area that's around us, around Tennessee, with the gospel, because we think that if we're following that pattern in the New Testament, then we've got to work at home. We've got to work in the surrounding areas, and we've also got to go into the world. So one example of taking the gospel into the world, a new work for Graymere this year is with Anthony and Jesenia, or Jesse Barbosa, in Costa Rica. Anthony graduated from the Bible School of the Americas in December 2015, and I've been knowing Jesse for years. She's always come and translated on campaigns for us, and her father's a gospel preacher. And so through her, we met Anthony and had just made all the connections so that we realized, hey, here's an opportunity for us to go into a new country and to, Lord willing, be able to plant a new church. So I was able to visit them this year. They also have welcomed their first child, Sophia, this year. So they're a family of three now as well. But I was able to visit with them. What we've done in partnering with them is, it's sometimes dangerous to throw all of your resources behind a new preacher who hasn't yet had the opportunity to grow. I guess we're always in a state of growing, but we found that it's very advantageous to give new preachers an opportunity to work with older preachers for a while and to sort of learn how to go about things. So what we've done with them Anthony had the opportunity this year, for most of this year, to go to Guasimo, Costa Rica, which is where his father-in-law preaches. It's a very, very small town. I would call it a country church. But nonetheless, it still gives him an opportunity there for them to be with family and to learn in working with that church. And that's the photo of the church building there. And so while we were there, we were able to visit with them and to preach on Sunday morning. Excellent congregation. Again, small country church, but still big enough. They've got kids that have to go out back for Bible class, and then they've got bigger kids that have their classroom space for their own class as well. But I think there's great opportunities in Costa Rica. I'd really hoped that maybe he would want to stay another year working there and thinking maybe we could take a campaign there to Guasimo next year. As it's worked out, Anthony's decided to move on. He's actually from San Jose, and his wife, Justinia, San Jose being the capital of Costa Rica, his wife, Jessie, she's finishing up her studies in a university there, so it's just easier for them with a small child to relocate to San Jose. So he's now just begun in the last month or so working with another church, another more experienced minister there in the capital. So Lord willing, we'll be able to visit him again next year and maybe plan an opportunity for us to visit Costa Rica with a group in the future. This gets me to India. Some of you who follow our Graymere page on Facebook know where I'm going with this. But when you go to India and lose your luggage, sometimes you end up looking like these guys. So Matt was a whole lot more excited about his shirt. Those things look very sleek and comfortable, but they're not. They're scratchy and itchy and probably the worst thing we've ever put on our bodies. But that's what you end up looking like if you make it to India without luggage and have to wear whatever clothing Peter Solomon brings to you to wear. But while we were in India this year, we had, of course, there's so much work going on in India, and there's so much opportunity. There's literally a billion people there, so there's great opportunity to reach souls. So we were all over the place, as we normally are, but we sort of set up headquarters in Chennai. By the way, our luggage did get there, I think, a day or two before we left. So we made do. But we went all over. We made, I believe, our first day there, we made a trip about 3 hours south of where we were staying to visit a church in that area. The next day, we made a trip about 3 hours north to the photo you see, where we had a Christian growth seminar where I was able to speak, and Matt got to speak, and Brother Solomon spoke. And what we did there is we work with so many different ministers, preachers in India, that it's just impossible in one trip to visit all of them. So what we did was, for that state, we invited everybody that we support and invited them to invite whoever, any other church workers they knew and their wives. So we had this large seminar where we still were able to visit and sit and spend a little bit of time with everybody that we support in that area, even though it didn't necessarily give us time to visit each one of them's congregation. But that was a good opportunity for us to check up on them. On our way home, one of the new things that Peter Solomon is doing in India is, I've totally forgotten the basic Bible courses, I believe is what he's calling it. Basically, it's like a satellite school of the National Bible College. It's not necessarily training preachers, but Lord willing, it will. But he's going out and setting up these satellite schools. This is actually a church building that was way out in the middle of nowhere, and then you have to walk up a big hill to get to it. But there, meeting in that church building, is all the men that live around in that village. They'll come there and they'll sit and they'll listen to the preacher training them, or they'll sit and watch DVDs of Peter Solomon and others that they've reported of themselves giving training, teaching. So this is a way for men who maybe they wouldn't have the opportunity to go to school full-time, but it's a way for them to be trained to share the gospel with others. And I believe he's got four of those currently, and with plans to open up more of them. But this was a great opportunity for us to stop and to visit that one. And I believe Linda Smith and the Woodson Chapel Church are the ones that are helping this one to operate. And We also, one night in Chennai, got to go to a boy's, I think it was his 7th birthday. What every 7-year-old boy wants on his birthday is for me to come in and preach. So that's what he got. It's a different atmosphere. A few weeks ago, Andrew talked about visiting churches where in other countries where what they do on Sunday, the whole day, is sort of dedicated to being together. When we get outside of this country, we notice that togetherness among Christians is something that maybe it's valued a little bit more, or maybe we've lost a little bit of it. But when somebody has a birthday, that's an opportunity for the church to get together. That's an opportunity for them to invite their non-Christian friends and to also invite in a minister to come and preach to them. So that's what I had the opportunity to do there at that boy's birthday. Here's a photo of Jebba Kumar. A lot of you remember him. He came for the big campaign. He is preaching in a place called Tirumazizai. This is a new area in India. It's a new area of Chennai. The city's so big. It's about 8 million people that live in that city. So they're constantly developing new areas for people to live. So he's identified this area as a place that needed a church. It's newly developing, so the church is there. And within about a year and a half, they've already grown to about 50 or 60 members. So they had a full house meeting in their home, while we were there to visit them. And there's a photo of this is actually before service started, so that this place was full, and on the other side of the wall, it was full of people there for worship in his home. But I love Jebba Kumar. I'm just greatly impressed with him and with his work. And Lord willing, we're going to be able to help him. He's working to purchase some land and to build a church building for that church. And what I like about his work is I'm not very interested in never-ending mission works. And what I mean, every work is a never-ending mission work, because Graymere is still a mission work. There's still people to reach. But I'm not necessarily interested in works that 30 years from now we're still supporting the same man to preach to the same people. I'm interested in works that will grow and be able to take on their own support. So Jebba Kumar has that type of a plan in that location. He would like to stay there for 10 years and help them to get a building and help them to get their own minister and, Lord willing, eldership. But his plan is in 10 years, the city of Chennai plans to build a new international airport and develop another area. So he'd like to move at that point and go do it all over again. So he truly is working like a missionary. And that's what excites me about the opportunity to work with him. Also, he works with the YMCA church. It's actually in a YMCA building in another part of Chennai. And he took me there to preach on Sunday morning. And this is a church that's been around for a little while. Peter Solomon began this church, and they've got their own eldership now. And I've preached there a few times before, but the thing that really hit me, impressed me, was after I'd preached, one of the elders came up and gave me an envelope, and I looked at it and said, "Thank you for your sermon," and inside it had some rupees. It was the equivalent of about $8. But we don't preach for money. Certainly we're not going overseas to preach for money, but I just thought, what a great sign of their maturity that was, that they were trying to pay the preacher for his work. And I've never had that happen anywhere else that I've been in this world or outside of this country. So I thought that was really, really impressive. Here's a photo of the students at the National Bible College. Again, there's all this work going on in India, and sometimes we talk about all the different churches, and I'll admit to you, I get more excited about church planning and church work than I do about preaching schools, but I don't want to overlook the fact that while all of that stuff's going on, they're constantly training men to go out and to preach the gospel in India as well as in other places. So we had time to spend at the National Bible College and to teach a few classes to the students as well. One night we went and visited with P.M. Daniel. He's the older gentleman there in the photo, and he preaches there in Chennai. Some of you know him. We have a long history in working with him as well. So again, we're constantly on the move. Maybe the grand finale of our trip was Peter Solomon's 70th birthday, and I actually texted this photo to Andrew Phillips while I was there just to show him that Graymere doesn't know how to treat their preacher. because, I mean, this was amazing. They've got this church building that'll seat as many people as we can sit in here. And so we're up on the roof, and they've got this big banner and the balloons, and they've got a television crew there. They've got the radio station there playing music, and they've got all these radio stations have reported happy birthday greetings to this great preacher, Peter Solomon, and the elders of the church make speeches, and it's just amazing. It's amazing when you think about all the work that man has done in the church in India, but it's just amazing to see the way that they appreciate it. So that was a very special opportunity for us to be a part of as well. While we didn't get to visit Peru this year, I did not want to leave out Juan and Naya Abanto, and they work in Lima, Peru, in an area called Pachacamac. Again, a lot of you know Juan. He came and worked with us on the big campaign, and I love Peru, but I really love this couple and appreciate working with them. They are working. They've been there about 2 years now, but in year one, they started to plant the church and to meet in their own home. This year, in year two, they've outgrown their home, so they've gotten one of the new converts has a larger home, and she's donated a space for them so that the church can meet there. So they've got their sign outside of her house saying that the Church of Christ meets there, and she's donated a bedroom for the children to have Bible classes in. But they're working hard in Pachacamac in Lima, Peru. He's already talking with me about plans for next year. One thing that he personally enjoys in ministry is radio ministry, so he'd like to start some radio programs there in that area where they're at, so that they can maybe advertise and reach folks that way next year. I also didn't want to leave out Ruben Gallego. We did not visit him this year in Panama, Becerra, Panama, and that was actually by design. Ruben, being in Becerra, Panama, of course, there's a photo of his wife and his three girls. He's so far out, it's very difficult for us to get there. But it's a situation where the church there is most likely never going to be, or most likely not in my lifetime, it's probably not going to be self-supporting. It's very primitive. They are an indigenous group of people that live there. They don't have electricity unless they run a generator. So it's not, they don't have all of the accommodations that maybe other places have. But because of all of that, we had put them on a plan to help Reuben to become self-supporting. The plan is that he could become a self-supported missionary or tent-making preacher, kind of following the model of the Apostle Paul. So over the last few years, we've helped his family they've started a little store where they can sell meats and different goods that all the families need. But Reuben also has started teaching this year in the school there. He's now teaching English to the little kids in the elementary school in that area. So this is his last year on support with Graymere, but he's become self-supporting, and he's going to continue working with the church there. So while I say that church would never become self-supporting, in a way, they're becoming self-supporting by having a man that's devoted to that work while not putting a burden on them that they're unable to bear. So that's been a real success story for our mission works. And I don't know that a lot of churches have situations like that, mission works that they support, but I don't hear a lot of stories or success stories that come from those. So I think that's one that we ought to take to heart and be proud of. And I think that's one that we ought to try to share with others, because it's definitely a model that I believe others can follow. And the good thing is that church will keep going, but now we can move on and identify another area that needs the gospel and plant a church there. Also, over the last few years, we've supported Angelo Munoz, and he's from Panama, and that's where our history goes back when working with him. He decided not to go to the School of Preaching in Panama. He decided he wanted to be trained here in the U.S., and he decided to go to the Memphis School of Preaching, and then he decided to go to a third year of missions training And I think he's got a lot of great plans. A lot of you know him. He was here for the big campaign as well. And but just wanted to let you know that he has graduated from school now, and so our support of him has ended. But that's been a good relationship for us, in order for us to be able to train another worker. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes and what he's able to do in the future. I do want to take the opportunity very quickly just to mention our plans for 2017. Of course, we've got a trip Andrew and I are going to make to India coming up February 10th through 21st. But something I think needs to be noted is we generally do one or two group campaigns each year, but you're never limited to that as a part of this body here at Graymere. While it might not be a group trip, I'm going to India, John Vaughn's going to India, I'm usually going to Costa Rica or Peru or Arizona, wherever it is throughout the year. And any Graymere member that wants to go on one of those trips, that's certainly an opportunity for you. And I think it's good to make you aware of that. But as far as group trips go, March 27th through April 1st, we are planning to go back to Arizona. That'll be spring break for our both Murray County as well as private schools. So Lord willing, we'll have a lot of our young people that will want to be a part of that. And I think we'll do evangelism again. I think we'll find some ways to serve the community again. And one interesting aspect of being the overseeing eldership or partnering congregation, whatever phrase you want to use, one interesting aspect is that we're more than just a check-sending church now. That was our goal several years ago. We wanted to be more than a church that just sends a check. So now I'm sitting with Josh, and as we've helped to plant that church, now we're sitting and we're talking about the things that they need. And we're talking about we need to send Chad Landman out there to teach the active digital parenting courses. We need to send some Graymere song leaders out there. One of their huge needs is they want to know how to sing. So we're talking about, wow, we need to help them with that. They're saying, we'd like to know more about how to set up our education program. And they're asking, do you have members that you can send for that? So we're more than a check-sending church now. Now we're getting into the things that church needs so that we can continue to help them to grow. And that's where you come in. Again, as we have folks here that have those abilities and those talents, we can send you, and you can share that with that church and equip them for the future. I mentioned I'd hope to go to take a group trip to Costa Rica next year. It hasn't worked out for 2017. I believe it will for 2018. But we do have another opportunity that has arisen, and that's for Chattanooga. A friend of mine preaches with the St. Elmo Church of Christ in Chattanooga, and it's an older congregation. But he said that he thinks they're still about another year away from being able to do Vacation Bible School on their own. So he asked if we would be willing to bring a group there. Some of you may know him. His name is David Farr. You might know him. I think I posted it on our Facebook page. He was the one that was running across the state of Tennessee. And he actually stopped here one Sunday morning halfway through and came to worship with us. And after worship, kept on running. But really great guy and a great opportunity for us. What I like about it, again, it's almost like working at home. It's so close. I believe it's going to be about a Thursday through a Wednesday. And it's so close that maybe you can't go for 7 days. Maybe you could go for 2 or 3 days. It's close enough you could drive yourself for however long you could stay. Or maybe you could just ride the bus up and stay for 2 or 3 days. Maybe the bus comes back and then picks up the ones that want to go up and do the Vacation Bible School. I'm thinking send a first group to knock doors and advertise it, and then a second group to do the VBS. But I think it gives us a lot more flexibility in that maybe more folks from here at Graymere will want to be a part of that opportunity. It's at home. It's in Tennessee. If you're afraid of traveling, you don't have to, but it'll be a great opportunity for us. And also, I think there will be some individual trips to Costa Rica and Peru. And again, you're always welcome to join in those trips as well. We think about the gospel going out, sharing the gospel at home and sharing the gospel in the surrounding areas and then taking the gospel into all the world. We also don't need to overlook this auditorium. There could be someone here tonight who's outside of Christ, and you need to put Christ on in order to be forgiven of your sins. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess before us that Jesus is the Son of God, you can have your sins washed away in baptism tonight. And as our custom is, when we come together, we want to not neglect the opportunity to extend that invitation to you. If there's anyone with any other need, any way that we can pray with you or help you, why don't you come right now as we stand and sing.